You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, A People Afraid to Have Children. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
What will Y2K bring? For me, and I hope for you, the key to the future is Jesus Christ. These days, people are making much ado about turning a page on the calendar and about computers reading 00. For you and for me, the greatest truth for the year 2000 is this: unto us a child is born. Please, I beg, don't downplay the birth of Jesus as you face whatever the future may bring. Without Jesus, the future is fearful. The Reverend John Mayle is a missionary in Russia. When he recently stopped by my office, I asked him how things are in Russia. The picture he painted is not good. Adultery is commonplace. Divorce is skyrocketing. Alcoholism is epidemic. Life expectancy in Russia is short, only 57 years. And the population is declining. Young people, he says, are marrying, but they are not having children because they are afraid of the future. In fact, Reverend Mayle is acquainted with one woman who has had 22 abortions. Yes, 22 abortions, because she was afraid to bring a child into the world. The Russians are, Missionary Mayle summarized, a people afraid to have children. You can sympathize with that fear, can't you? I can. My own daughters are ages 25 and 20. I have often thought, I'm glad they're grown and I no longer have to raise small children. I'm guessing that you may well have said the same thing yourself. I wouldn't want to be a young person now. The world is changing too fast. It's too scary. In Russia or in your heart, to a greater or lesser degree, we are fearful for what the future may bring us and our children. What to do? What to do? How shall we all face the future? When you read the Bible carefully, you can't help but notice a recurring pattern. Fearful people turn to God in prayer. Repeatedly in the Old Testament, you read that the ancient Israelites were afraid of foreign oppression. Fearful for their future, they took it to the Lord in prayer. The disciple Peter walked on water, but he got scared when he saw a wave coming at him. Lord, save me, he cried. He took it to the Lord in prayer. On that same sea, the disciples' lives were threatened by a storm, and yes, they did. They took it to the Lord in prayer. Jairus was a father afraid for his daughter's future. She was deathly sick. A Syrophoenician woman had a daughter who was demon-possessed. You know what they did. These parents took their fears to the Lord. Romans chapter 15, verse 3 says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And so these examples of prayer in the face of fear underscore the Bible's admonition to you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Psalm 50, verse 15. That's the way for you and me to face the year 2000. Here's a practical way to put that into practice. Mr. Phil Rosenthal is a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. Although he was writing about a totally different matter, Mr. Rosenthal wrote this past summer about beggars with their psalms out. Great description. How to face the future. The Psalms are the Bible's prayer book. They've been used by generation after generation, from century to century, and yes, from millennium to millennium, to voice to God the emotions and fears we all feel. And so when we are fearful of the future and the new millennium, anxious for ourselves and afraid for our children, we should go to God as beggars with our psalms out. O Lord, begins Psalm 90, you have been our refuge throughout every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, you were God. You are God from everlasting to everlasting. Now the psalmist takes an interesting turn. He talks about death, the ultimate fearful reality. You turn mortals back into dust and say, "Return, descendants of Adam." Indeed, in your sight, 1,000 years are like a single day, like yesterday, already past, like an hour in the night. You sweep mortals away. They are a dream. Psalm 90, verses 3 through 5. When the great reformer Martin Luther was on his deathbed in 1546, he scribbled a note on a piece of paper. He wrote, "We all are beggars." Like the reformer, and like all people throughout the millennia, we are beggars destined to die. And death is only one of the things that can fill us with fear for the future. Before death, there is so much bad that happens in our world. We seem to be always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Why are we reduced to this beggarly position? There are many answers. But with our psalms, remember, as beggars with our psalms out, we learn the theological answer. Psalm 90 continues, "Your anger consumes us. Your rage terrifies us. You have set our sins in front of you. You have put our secret sins in the light of your presence. Indeed, all of our days slip away because of your fury. We live out our years like one long sigh." Although we have angered God with our sins, we still go to this same God for help to face the future. Back in the years when I was a parish pastor, I regularly conducted funerals. Although 11 years have passed since I left congregational ministry, a question from the committal service sticks in my mind. The liturgy for the graveside asks, "From whom may we seek comfort but from thee, O Lord, who for our sins art justly displeased?" Such a strange fact! The God whom we have angered by our sins is the very same God to whom we take our fears. Here's an illustration. Maybe you have had this experience. Your child is beginning a semester at college. You may have dipped deeply into your savings or received federal help, and some of that money is for living expenses. You have to make this last the whole semester, goes your lecture, to which your son or daughter rolls their eyes and says, I know, I'm not a baby anymore. But a few months later, before the semester is done, you get a phone call. "Dad, don't be mad. I know the lecture, but Dad, I'm out of money." "From whom may we get money but from you, Dad?" That's the way it is between us and our Heavenly Father. "From whom may we see comfort but from thee, O Lord, who for our sins are justly displeased?" We have debts with God. It is called sin. Yet we turn to Him because He is our Father, our loving, not our vindictive, our loving Heavenly Father. Explaining the first words of the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther wrote, "God would by these words tenderly invite us to believe that He is our true Father, and that we are His true children, so that we may with all boldness and confidence ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father." And so you are welcome to go to Him with your fears for the future. You know why you're welcome to call upon your Father? In part, because He knows your fears. Psalm 94, verse 9 asks, "Does He who implanted the ear not hear? Does He who formed the eye not see?" And in part, because your Heavenly Father is understanding. Psalm 103 says, "As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear Him." He certainly knows what we are made of. He bears in mind that we are dust. But the greatest reason why you can take it to the Lord in prayer is because of your brother. Unto us a child is born. In this world, where our fears have led some not to have children, and those who do have children are fearful for their future, what good news this is that God gives us a child. The birth of Jesus Christ is a word of hope for your future. By His perfect keeping of God's commandments, and by His innocent death at the cross, this child reconciles you to your Father. By paying for your sins at the cross, this child breaks the grip that the fear of death has on you. By His own restoration to life, by His resurrection on Easter, this child offers you the immortality, the unending life of heaven that will never be taken from you. In heaven, you will have no fear. Yet, on this side of heaven, we all have fears. But here and now, moving into the year 2000, the Spirit of the Father and of your Savior Jesus, the Holy Spirit, gives you sure and certain hope for the future. All this because the child has been born for you. So, like God's people through the millennia, we go to the Father as beggars with our psalms out. Satisfy us every morning with your mercy, we pray with the psalmist, so that we may sing joyfully and rejoice all our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have made us suffer, for as many years as we have experienced evil. Let us, your servants, see what you can do. Let our children see your glorious power. And let us put our psalms out with confidence. To pray without confidence is a sin, because it denies the promises of God. I confess that I have sinned that way more than once in my prayers. When my daughter Elizabeth entered law school, I was afraid for her future. I know from experience how hard it is to earn a doctor's degree. Law school is as tough or tougher than a PhD. We don't want to see our children disappointed or hurt. So I prayed, "God, please help her. Oh, it's hard, and many don't make it. And well, I don't know. If it's your will, could you help her? Maybe?" Then in one of my morning devotions, I read this from the first chapter of James. "When you ask for something, don't have any doubts. A person who doubts is like a wave that is blown by the wind and tossed by the sea. A person who has doubts shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. A person who has doubts is thinking about two different things at the same time and can't make up his mind about anything." James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Some Christians use the word convicted. Wow, was I convicted? I learned that I needed to pray with more confidence. One poet put it this way, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none may ever ask too much." My mailman, Philip, shared with me a story he took off the internet. A man was dying in the hospital. He had not been especially religious during his life, but realized that now was the time. He was a mortal man about to come before the immortal God. He was a sinner about to appear before his judge. Knowing his condition, he wanted to pray, but he didn't know how. The hospital chaplain stopped by one day. The patient told the chaplain about his inability to pray. The minister suggested that he focus on the empty chair next to his bed. Imagine, said the chaplain, that Jesus is sitting in that chair and talk to him. Prayer is that simple. A few days later, the chaplain was again making his rounds. He stepped into this room and found the bed empty. Going down to the nurse's station, he was told that the man had died. But the nurse added that the hospital staff had been puzzled by the man's posture in death. Instead of dying in bed with his head on the pillow, this man was sitting on the side of his bed, his head resting on the chair next to the bed. Although the nurses were puzzled, the chaplain smiled, understanding what had happened. Facing the future, this man had taken his fears to the Lord in prayer. So on this Advent of the year 2000, whether you are afraid for what the future will bring you or fearful for your children, take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." John chapter 14, verse 27. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.